It's a privilege and an honor to be with you guys. We had a great time. I really appreciate your pastor, Pastor Malcolm, Apostle Malcolm, and Apostle Kemi, and I'm starting to meet the staff here. Man, you guys are blessed. And I met this evangelist too on fire for God. I said, what am I doing here, Lord? Those people are on fire. Amen, amen, amen. And I'm just excited to see how excited you are for the things of the kingdom of God. Amen. You sister in the white who sings, stand up. Come here just a minute. You know what I saw? It's funny. I told you, I'm not a prophet. But it seems when you sing, your voice makes sing the angels in heaven. There's something in you, amen, which is a gift of God. But this gift is powerful through you. Amen? And when you sing, I saw angels dancing in heaven. Amen, amen, and rejoicing. So keep it up. God is going to raise you up the more and more and more. Because I've put my spirit, my life in you, says the Lord. And I will magnify myself in you. I'm pleased in you, says the Lord. Just glorify me the more and more. And you're going to see my glory fall everywhere where I'm going to bring you. My fire is upon you. And I will glorify myself, says the Lord, because my fire is upon you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Watch out, they'll want to steal her from your church, pastor. You better tie her up. Amen, amen, amen. But what a great team of all worship you guys have here. I'm very impressed that you're not here for a show, but you are here to glorify God. And it smells good. It smells good in the spirit. Hallelujah. I'm just excited to be here. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, God has moved. I know there'll be many testimonies, but I want to hear. There's Claudette. Come here. Bring a microphone. 2-3 people who were healed here. Just come forward. Your body is better. This sister with the metal. Hallelujah. Just share what God did to you.
So for a few weeks, I've had incredible pain in my kind of hip here and right down through my leg at night. It's tingling, it's numb. I don't know how to set it to sleep. At the 9 o'clock service, as our pastor, our brother Jean, was praying, I stood to receive prayer for my back. It was at the 11 a.m. service, I realized... I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come. Is there any one more testimony of what God did this today or yesterday? Amen. Let's hear it.
I just give God the glory because I didn't plan this. It was God that picked me out and spoke about anyone who, the pastor said, anyone who has a plate of metal in their body. And I knew that was me. And I just came up. I said, yes, that's me. And he just said, you are healed. You'll be healed tonight. And I suffered for many years with this plate and you know, got used to the plate. And had a lot of problems at supermarkets and stores because the minute I just walked in, immediately the alarm went off. And obviously they thought I had a gun or something, some metal. So I had to always explain and say, you know, I've got a plate fitted. I'm sure that's what it is. And some of them, you know, they look at you, they want to search you and everything. So I just thank God that he picked me out when I wasn't expecting it. And but I knew it was me. And as a pastor prayed, I just felt all the heat in my body. I just felt such a release. And, you know...
Speak in the mic.
I just felt that everything came together. It was like my bones weren't clicking as such. And everything just felt very normal. I just thank God for his healing. I thank Jesus. Jesus is my healer.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did.
Hallelujah. Amen. You don't feel the plate no more.
Yeah, no more.
You could touch
it before. Yeah.
No more. Hallelujah.
No.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I am healed.
We rejoice.
Amen.
We rejoice. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to encourage you tonight. You know, sometimes I see people, oh, I was too shy to go and testify. Amen. But testimonies are powerful. You know, I believe in my message this morning. What was the title of my message this morning? Be a blessing. And the more you'll want to be a blessing, the more you're going to see God is going to use you too. Amen, amen. Me, I've seen oftentimes, I was in the plane from Ivory Coast to, I was preaching for the first time in, Benin. And I was sitting in business, but we were only two. And God told me, go bless this man. So I took my courage and I said, sir, I want to bless you. I'm a man of God. I want to bless you. He said, bless me. So I blessed him. And I went and I asked him, what does he does in life? Oh, he said, I'm a bank in charge of all the bank in a place in Africa. So I said, anyway, God bless you. It was an honor. But when I was going out the plane, I just share this. There's all type of surprise. I saw all bodyguards coming all around him. And I said, oh, man. So I was the first out of the plane. And when I was going down the step of the plane, they told me, it was my first time in Benin. I didn't know nobody there. Said, go sit in the car. I thought they were kidnapping me. And I went in the car, and I sat down. I was not brave at all. He said, sir, you're sitting with the ex-president of Benin. And I said, me? And just to show you how God is good. And when he came in the car, I said, you're the ex-president. You hide this from me? You know, he said, you're going to be blessing my country. So, and we became friends for a short while because I was going out at the door at the airport. But just to show, be a blessing. You don't know. Obey God. To do something to obey God. And I go bless. And one day, there's a president from another country. He didn't let me go until I go bless him. Be a blessing. So, but the worst part of it, I had 1 hour to take my plane. And I said to the chef of the protocol, I cannot. I'll miss my plane. He said, sir, you won't miss your plane. We're going to hold the plane for you. I said, woo! It was Belgium Airlines, something like this, Brussels Airlines. And I was there at the plane only half an hour because I needed to stop to go bless the president. He was playing soccer and he stopped the game and I needed to go bless him. I blessed him, and when I get at the airport, they were all waiting for me. I see the plane was waiting for me. I was the last passenger coming in. Amen. But just to show, continue, don't quit. Come on, people sometimes are quitting in life, and you miss the blessing God has for you. The title of my message tonight. Hello, hello, everybody's there? Never give up. Never give up. There's a parable. That's an old story. I'm not good to say story, but I want to honor my wife. She's the best storyteller there is. But honey, you don't have time tonight. I'm going to read the parable of the three frogs. Three stubborn frogs once fell into a pot of milk. The sides of the pot were tall and slippery, and the poor frogs could not jump high enough to escape. The first frog quickly became discouraged and stopped trying. It drowned. The second struggled a little longer, but eventually gave up and met the same fate. The third frog determined not to spend the rest of its days in the bottom of the pot, kept kicking desperately without ceasing. After a while, its constant movement churned the milk until it thickened into butter. Standing on the mound of butter, the frog was able to leap out and regain its freedom. The frog survived because of its determination and perseverance. It's the same way. Our vision of success gives us the determination necessary to persevere until it is fulfilled. I know it's an old story. Everybody knew the story of the frog in the milk. No, that's a new one. That's a good one, huh? That's a good one to tell you. Don't quit. Never give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up." Amen, amen. To grow weary means to faint, to be exhausted, to lose all strength, to be downcast without courage. I always say to the young guys who start in the ministry, it's 49 years Louise and I were full-time in the ministry. And I always say to the young kids, hey, it's not what you look at the beginning which is good. It's what you look at the end of the road, of the race, which is important. Because everybody at the beginning, listen, my evangelist, rah, 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 rah. And you see them 10 years after, rah, 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 rah. And they sing the favorite song of the people who stop. I'm translating from French. Miserable that I am. When I'll be in paradise, I'm so happy, hoorah. I'm so happy, hoorah. Up to now, it doesn't work. We need to be determined to go to the end. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13 says, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary, tired, that means exhausted, in doing good. Never stop. Never stop. Listen, God has mighty things for you." Never. I thought I was a little boy in a village, 10,000 people. Nobody knew me. But one day God said he would send me everywhere around the world to teach, to preach. Hallelujah. Heal the sick. And here I am today. Hallelujah. So it is important. Keep doing good. Keep doing what is right. Matthew 9:35 said, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness." Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen, amen, amen. That means you need to sow, hallelujah, and reap. Sowing and reaping, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. Hallelujah. And I'm so happy to do what I'm doing. I'm so happy when I see the metal walk away. I'm so happy when I see paralyzed people walk. I'm so happy when the blind eyes open, when deaf ear open. You know, I'm like a little child. I love it. I love it. And I said, God, do it again. Do it again. So that's why I'm sowing. There's a lot of time at the beginning I didn't see nothing. You hear me? Amen. You pray with the people. He has a headache. If he has a migraine after you finish, now we'll pray for you. But if he has only a headache and the headache is still there, he's not worse than when you started. So go for it. Go for it. And that's how I started to see mighty miracles. Mark 4:26 to 28 says, he also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. I remember when I was a young evangelist, I used to preach on the streets. And I used to preach everywhere. And I didn't see those people necessarily come to my church. They were giving their life to Jesus. But the thing is, what you sow, you reap. Amen. Some people were coming to our church, which came from another evangelist. Hallelujah. Because the more you sow in the kingdom, listen, the more you sow, the more you're going to reap. It's the same thing with your money. The more you're going to sow, the less you're cheap, the more you're going to reap. I have friends which are millionaires. And this guy, his family was mad at me because he used to come with me on the road. And he used to come and he was giving money to the poor and all this. And his family was, "Hey, you bring my father. He's giving our heritage away." He was throwing dollar. We were in Haiti, you know, from the gallery. But he sowed always. He was generous always. That's why God has blessed him. The more he was sowing, the more he was blessed. Hallelujah. And when you sow, there's a right time too. Be patient. Be patient. Sometimes you don't see it right away. Hallelujah. Same thing for your healing. Come on. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Hallelujah. I believe with all my heart, pastor, this church, you're going to see a growth the more and more and more. And he loves it. He reminds me of me, your pastor. When I used to be a pastor, I saw him look this morning at the people all around. And he was so happy. He was so happy. Me, I used to look in the windows, see the cars coming in. Amen, at church, you know, oh yes, the parking is full now. The parking is full. And there's just something. But I believe there's a timing for this church. And you're going to see, Pastor, I believe this church is going to grow. You're going to see miracles after miracles after like you've never seen before. Amen. This, I declare this on this church. You're going to see a movement of God. Maybe you won't have enough of 5 service, Pastor. You'll need to go to 10. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, something is happening, is shifting in the spirit. Something is shifting in the spirit. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. Tell to your neighbors, wait for it. It's coming. It will surely come. It will not delay. How long must I wait, Pastor? Kenneth Hagin said, be ready to wait forever, and you won't have to wait for long. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. I'm going to share 2 testimony powerful for you guys in the just listen. There's a lot of perseverance. You know those verse in Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11, when it says, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock, the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks, receive. And everyone who searches, find. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Who ask him? In the Greek here, listen carefully. This is the imperative present, or the present imperative, one or the other. Amen. It's mean, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Hallelujah. Have the faith of Pastor Kimmy, the pit bull faith, who doesn't quit, who never quits. Hallelujah. It is important. And this way, if you decide to not quit and never give up, you're going to discourage the devil. You're going to discourage the devil. The devil won't be able to discourage you no more and say, ha ha, you didn't receive, ha ha. You'll be able to say, ha ha, I have received. There was a lady like this in Smith Wigglesworth. She believed in the word of God. She said, when Smith is going to pray for me, I'm going to be healed. And for 1 year, she was still leaping and all this and telling her mom, Mom, I am healed. And her mom was mad at her. You need to call the things which are not like if they were. And she said, when you were healed? She said, when Smith Wigglesworth prayed for me. And for 1 year, she was, quack, quack, I'm healed. And Smith came back 1 year after, and you know, she said to her mom, I'm going to the meeting tonight. I'm going to go testify that I'm healed. And she was mad. Dave helped her to get up the stair, and she started to say, I want you to know I was healed a year ago when Smith prayed for me. And at the moment she declared it, healing came completely on her. You must keep moving. I was believing for millions souls in television. We were on TBN everywhere in Africa and all this. And I believe we saw millions come to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't quit. Don't quit. We need you in the body of Christ. We need you. God needs you. Hallelujah. You are his instrument in the last days. Matthew 11, 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. Hallelujah. Jacob fought all night with an angel. He said, you're going to bless me. I don't let you go. And he was blessed. Joseph persevered. Even when he was falsely accused, he was completely transformed. Abraham waited 100 years before receiving Isaac. It's reminded me. One day I was preaching in a bar. They invited me. They used to call me the troubadour de la chanson in Switzerland. And the pastor, you know what? I didn't want it to preach in a bar. He brought me in a bar where everybody drinks. There was 2 floors like here. And he put me right there. And everybody was sitting down. And he introduced me. Just to show you the atmosphere, I didn't see all the evangelists. They were hiding everywhere. Even my wife didn't. I couldn't see my wife nowhere. She was hiding from me. And I was there. He was used to play accordion. And just to show you the atmosphere in the place, when he opened his accordion, he froze there. And now I was on. And it was like hell in there. He introduced me, the troubadour de la chanson canadienne, Jean Turpin. And I was there. There is a love inside of me that I cannot explain. And I was singing, and I could hear people. Man, this is not a church here. What is he doing here? It's not a church. Oh, man, I felt, whoa. I said, I want to go home. I want to go home. I wanted to sing this song. And when I finished there, I felt very humble. I felt like walking under the carpet. I didn't want it. I said, I don't want to. And I was booked there for 3 nights in a row. And I'm just sharing the atmosphere. I had my friend Millionaire with me. He was praying in tongues. He is about the only one. I couldn't see the church at all in there. And the next night, I needed to go there. And believe me, the oppression was so strong in there. It was so much oppressed that I didn't even knew John 3:16 no more. And God said, just before I go up the second night, he said, go in a bar, okay, just to show you. He said, go read Isaiah 53, starting with verse 3. And imagine in a bar. And I get up in the bar, and he introduced me again. He was despised and rejected by man. That's how I felt. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as soon as I started to read, Pastor, the atmosphere changed in the bar. Everybody started to listen. Just to show you, don't go by your feeling. Amen, amen, amen. If I would have stopped, I would not have seen what I've seen. And suddenly I did an altar call in the bar with people drinking. You said, John, you cannot preach in there. This is demonic. But Jesus is more powerful than all the power of hell. And I did an altar call. People were kneeling down in the bar with their whiskey. there on the table. And after I prayed with the sick, and I could hear, "I'm healed, I'm healed," in the bar, "I'm healed." And the worst, and there it was, so powerful. Now it's suddenly I saw my wife coming out, and I saw the rest of the evangelist team coming out. They were all hiding. But it was so powerful that the owner of the nightclub came to me. He said, "You're not from this planet." I said, "You're right. I'm from heaven." And he became my best friend. He never got converted, but he was my best friend. There was so many people converted that he opened his bar Sunday morning so we could do church in there. Just to show you, never quit. I could have quit. And every time I went after to say Aigle d'Innocent à Port-en-Truy. And he was like my good friends. But sometimes there's pressure. And one day I was preaching in Botwood. And in Canada somewhere. And they were announcing me on TV. "Bring your sick people and they're going to be healed." And so I started to preach. It was the first night of a crusade. I think it was a Monday night. There was maybe 100 people or 50, 75, 100. And I started to preach. So they brought in from the hospital someone who took 2 nitros a day. This is for his heart. And there was 2 nurses behind. And I was preaching my heart out. And suddenly, he fell dead. And after a while, nobody was listening to me no more. They called the ambulance, and I felt Jean Turpin is finished. I could see myself in the paper the next morning. "Bring your sick people and someone die in his meeting." And I had 1,000 things like this coming in my head. And I said, "I cannot preach no more." Nobody was listening to me. Everybody was, you know what I mean, center on the... And I took my courage. I went down. It was a big church, big, sharp church. I took my courage. I went down. And I remember... And when I got close to the man, it was about 5-10 minutes. He was like dead, declared dead by the 2 nurses. And the 2 nurses said, sir, don't pray for him, he's finished." This is very encouraging. And I was sweating. You know, it's not easy. It's easy to talk now. Everybody has faith in those days, in those times. Do you agree with me? The only faith they have is to look at me. And I was there. I took my courage. I kneeled down. And I said, "God, if you don't do nothing, never I'll preach again your word. Never I'll preach your word again." And the 2 nurses, sir, he's dead. "You shut up." I didn't say this, but that's how I felt in my heart. You know, and I kneeled myself down. I took my courage. And there, and the 2 nurses continuing, sir, the ambulance is here. We're going to bring him to the morgue. And I command, "Death!" And that's all I could do. And I had all the vision. I saw myself in the papers and finish. I said, "Death, in the name of Jesus, come out." Nothing happened. Now I was sweating the more and more. And there I said, "Lord, I look like a fool." Now everybody, you know, they had really faith. And now I took my courage. I said for the second time, "Death, in Jesus' name, come out." What happened? Nothing. Now I was sweating more, but I went for a third time. You hear me? Now I was there. And now everybody was looking, and some with fire in their eyes, with guns in their eyes. And now I don't know where my faith was, I'm honest with you, but I felt very, very weak. And I said, "Death, in Jesus' name, come out." And boom, he opened his eyes. And I said, "Ah!" And I couldn't believe it. The nurses didn't believe it at all. They brought him to one hospital to have him check. They didn't believe it. They put him back in the ambulance to a second hospital. The man was completely healed in his heart and completely transformed. But a lot of time we want to quit. Can you imagine? But if you don't have a test, you don't have a testimony. So that's why many, many are quitting when God wants to move. Louise? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, the revival. I was there. Now I went up. Whew, I could finish my sermon, you know. But and suddenly there was a lady up front, you know, with a veil, like an old lady with a hat on. And it was, and suddenly she stood up. And whoop, the cat went out. The cap, her hat went out. And she was dancing everywhere. And now suddenly, the Holy Spirit was shaking 10 person at the time. And there you saw. I was there up front. I couldn't believe it. There was a phone, you know, those big church where they have phone up front. I phoned my wife. I said, "Louise, you cannot believe what I'm seeing here." And it was just glorious, glorious. When the Holy Spirit hit, it is marvelous. Tell to your friend, marvelous. Marvelous. Hallelujah. Perseverance is the key. The devil's strategies is to stop you when there's a big miracle right there. And so many people missed it. I'm not mad, by the way. They miss it because they stop when God wants to move. Hello? Romans 5:3. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Does it help you? Never quit. Never. I have so many testimonies I could give to you. God is here. God is alive. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Even some great man of God sometime, they had experience, but they've had never quit. You know, Abraham Lincoln, he fell many times, but those failures shaped him to become President Thomas Edison in creating the light bulb. He said, "Invention is 2%. Inspiration or transpiration is 98% perspiration." I've learned to see my God. There's a lady they brought. She was full of cancer. And they brought her in. It was 2 months she didn't stood up, but couldn't do. And we just prayed with her. And the next morning, she could do meals for all her family. Because the Jesus I serve is a miracle worker. Amen. Amen. Are you ready tonight? Just before we pray tonight. Is there anyone here who never received Jesus as Lord and Savior? When I say Lord, it's to put him number one in your life. You're here tonight and you never gave Jesus the opportunity to be number one in your life. And you would like to give him this opportunity tonight. You never made him Lord. Some make him Savior, but Lord is to give him your life 100%. 100%. Jesus is jealous, and Jesus wants all of you. You're not here by accident tonight. You're here. It's a divine call of God. But before praying, I want to offer you. Who never accepted him as number one and would like to do it tonight? If you're here and God is speaking to your heart and you'd like to do this tonight, just raise your hand and say, Jean, pray for me tonight. I want Jesus to be number one in my life. Amen. Is there anyone here tonight? Anyone here, God is speaking to you. God is speaking to your heart. Forget your neighbors. One day, you're going to get in front of the Almighty God. And God going to ask you, did you receive him? Is your book written? Is your name written in the book of life? I was doing a funeral. I was telling them. She was a Christian lady. If she could come, she would say like Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man wanted someone from the dead to go tell his brother, his family. He was suffering in hell, in torment. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham with him, and he was suffering. He said, let someone from the dead go tell my family to not come here. It is real. It is real. That's why I give you the chance tonight. You can choose between heaven or hell. And if you're here tonight and you say, Jean, I want to give all my life to Jesus. Just raise your hand where you are. Even online. If God speaks to you tonight, don't get your heart become hard. Is there anyone tonight who would say, John, pray for me. I want Jesus. Just raise your hand so I can see it. Is there anyone? Anyone? Yes? Okay, thank you. Anyone else tonight who would say, Jean, it takes a man to admit, I need Jesus. I tried it by myself, but it doesn't work. Jesus is my biggest helper. He helped me so often. Is there anybody else tonight? Just raise your hand so I can see it. So my brother here can see it too. Anybody else? I'm going to pray. I'm just giving you the opportunity. And it's the nicest opportunity. And after, we're going to pray the power of God down. Upstairs? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Amen, amen, amen. Any other person tonight? Come on. One person who gave his life to Jesus Christ. Heaven is rejoicing. Angels in heaven are rejoicing. Any other person tonight who would say, Jean, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to start anew. Amen. I want to follow Jesus. Just raise your hand. Say, hey, when you raise your hand, you say, devil, it's finished. It is finished. Anybody else? Okay. I want 4 or 2 more. But a last chance. Maybe there's many Christians too. All those who have accepted Jesus, raise your hand. That's an easy altar call. All those who have accepted Jesus, I'm going to check. Oh, there's many hands down. Amen, amen. Those who have raised their hand, not their hand, their hand to accept Jesus, just stand up where you are, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to embarrass you. Just raise up. Just stand up. I just want to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I won't force you, because God sees your heart. Upstairs. Amen. If you want, just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come in my heart. I give you all my life. Forgive all my sins. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.